Amen. The blessing of the Lord is at work here.
Amen.
In a mighty, mighty, mighty way.
Thank you, Father.
All right, are you ready for the word?
Yes.
All right. Let's jump into the word. You ought to be prayed up by now. You ought to be ready. We've been talking so much this year about what it means to be spirit people, haven't we? People of the spirit, living out of our spirits. We're sharpening our spiritual senses, becoming sharper spiritually, seeing more, hearing more, knowing more, speaking more, declaring more. Amen. And in consequence of that, seeing greater results. Amen. I like to see results, don't you? Becoming effective spiritually. And we're learning to be led by the Holy Spirit. And every day of our lives, allowing Him to lead and guide and direct our daily affairs. And we are training. Can you say training?
Training.
We are training our spirits in the ways of God. In the ways of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I want to know the ways of God. What about you? I want to know the ways of God. I don't want it to be something that's way out here and foreign to me, but I want to know His ways, and I want to walk in His ways every day. And we can do that because He has sent the Holy Spirit to help us do just exactly that. So let's look here in John chapter 10, verse 10. We've been reading this since January, so we're going to get something out of this, aren't we?
Amen.
This is part of my style, part of my make up what we do. You know, we'll take a scripture and we'll milk it, milk it, milk it, milk it, milk it, milk it until you hear it in your sleep. It becomes revelation to you. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." So Satan comes to take and Jesus comes to give.
Amen.
That's how we can sum it up. Amen. Satan comes to take life, and Jesus comes, what? To give life. Amen. He gave us our life back in the Spirit. And so we must train ourselves now to live in and enjoy this new life that has been afforded to us in the Spirit, and to walk in it, and to realize that this new life, eternal life, it belongs to us now. This is not something that we're going to get when our bodies give out and we die physically. You need to have eternal life now before that even happens, because if you don't have it now, it's not going to be a very pretty picture when you get over on the other side. Amen? And so we're training then. Amen? We have a life now because of Jesus. Now let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in this new life, we have to be trained. First Timothy chapter 4, and of course, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And let's just very, very quickly, just pick it up in verse 1. We'll read down to where I want to get to here. But it says, "Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead." Now we're talking about Christians here. Amen. This is talking about Christians. "They will say it is wrong to be married and to eat certain foods, but God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth." So now you're allowed to eat bacon. But you just don't need it in excess. Thank God for bacon. Even cover it with chocolate if you want, right? All right, keep going here. Moderation. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. For we know it is made acceptable by the word of God and prayer. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, it says, train yourself to be godly. You need to underline that phrase right there. Amen. Train yourself to be godly. What's it mean to be godly? Like God. Amen. Then verse 8, it says this, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Why? Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So when we train ourselves properly, and we train ourselves spiritually for godliness, and we're transformed, and we grow spiritually, it will affect things not just in the life to come, but it'll affect things here while we're here. Isn't that powerful? Amen. Amen. The Amplified puts it this way. In the latter part of that verse, it says, "And train yourself toward godliness, piety, reverence, keeping yourself spiritually fit." Now, who has a responsibility of keeping yourself spiritually fit? I can't work out for you. Only you can work out for you. Amen? Keeping yourself spiritually fit, verse 8. For physical training is of some value, useful for a little, but godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything and in every way, it says. Wow. Can you see that? For it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come. You know, one of the ways that we can train ourselves spiritually is by learning how to listen to and follow our leader, the mighty Holy Spirit who has been sent to indwell us. Amen. He lives and he abides on the inside of each and every Christian today. But not every Christian has trained themselves spiritually to follow him and to listen to him. Amen. You know, Old Testament saints, you know, they were led outwardly. If you read through the Old Testament, you will see how God led the children of Israel with a cloud. Pillar of fire, he gave them at night to keep them warm, and a cloud by day to keep them cool when the sun was hot. And they followed this cloud around. But today, the cloud's moved, and it's moved to the inside of us. Amen. The cloud of his presence is in you. Amen. So now he lives in us, and he's now so close to us that he's one with us. Amen. And let's look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139, I love Psalm 139. What about you? And I really love the way the New Living Translation says this. Psalm 139, so much through that whole chapter there. But look at verse 5. It says, you go before me and follow me. Notice that. He goes before us and he also follows us. He's all around us. Yeah. You can't get away from him. Yeah. You place your hand of blessing on my hand, it says. Now, let's move down to verse 16. It says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Now, that's pretty trippy when you think about that. Personalize that. Think about that concerning yourself. How every day of your life has been recorded. And he saw this before you were even born. Because you see, he's not bound by time, right? Amen? So every day of your life was recorded, every moment laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. Isn't that awesome? And so then God has a plan for each of us, doesn't he? Amen. But the fulfillment of that plan is contingent upon us following the leading of the Holy Spirit, learning to trust our inward compass, the Holy Ghost within us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to fulfill the plan of God. Amen. I want to fulfill Father's plan. Raise your hand if you want to fulfill Father's plan. Well, how are you going to fulfill Father's plan? Well, we're going to have to learn to cooperate with the plan. Amen? And one of the ways that we cooperate with the plan of God is through the Holy Spirit. When you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, you are cooperating with God's plan for your life. You are cooperating, and the Lord getting involved in every detail, every aspect of your life. He's interested. Amen? And it's for our benefit. It's not that he's nosy or anything. It's just he knows better than you. Amen? Now look over at Romans chapter 8. Remember, we talked about this last week, and I think this is where we left off, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. Romans chapter 8. And let's see here. Verse 12, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Isn't that awesome? You ever think about that verse? You're not obligated, amen, to follow something that's pulling on you that you know is sin. You're not obligated to do that. You're not obligated to be offended. You know, you can feel that pulling on you. You're not obligated to that anymore. Amen. For if you live by its dictates, you will die, it says. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, it says you will live. I'd rather live. What about you? Amen. Amen. So the key to living is what? Not following the dictates then of that sinful nature. For it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. In other words, God leads his children. He leads you and I. He leads his sons and daughters. If you are son and daughter of God, remember we looked at that last time in John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 3, because we are sons and daughters of God now, right? He leads us. That inward compass now, he's in us. And he's there to lead us. Amen. Verse 15, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him. Now he's not God. He's God to the world, but he's Father to me. Amen. Amen. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit, it says, joins. Can you say joins? Joins. It joins or mixes together with our spirit. The New Living Translation says to affirm. The New King James says to bear witness. To bear witness. So, joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. You're an heir of the glory of God. What is God's glory? Huh? His presence, his power, and his goodness. Amen? So we're an heir of that. Amen. Aren't you glad that you're an heir of that? I'd much rather be an heir of that than anything else that this world has to offer. And so then these verses tell us that the Holy Spirit in us bears witness or affirms, New Living Translation, and causes us to know that we are the children of God. Notice verse 14 again, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now, these passages here of Holy Scripture, they're telling us that to be led by the Spirit of God is to walk in and experience every heavenly blessing that belongs to a son or daughter of God. Wow. Amen. To be led by the Spirit of God, then, is to walk in all of these things that belong to us as a son and daughter of God. He will lead you to the place of prosperity for your life. He'll lead you to healing, where you can get into the place and you can receive what was nailed to this cross. Amen. He'll lead you to that place where you can make peace with yourself and make peace with others around you. Amen. And experience, amen, His glory, His presence, His power, and His goodness. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So led by the Holy Ghost, the inward compass, we will find God's plan. When we're following the Holy Spirit, we will find the plan of God. You know, very often the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to jump too far ahead, but the Holy Spirit, He will lead you in prayer. Amen. He will lead you in prayer. When we are led by the Holy Ghost, following this inward compass, like I said, we're going to find everything that has been bought and paid for by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our covenant. He'll lead us into everything that belongs to us with our covenant with God. Amen? Amen. Now, when we are led by the Holy Ghost, you'll walk in the Spirit. You'll walk in the Spirit. And you'll begin living out of your spirit. And then everything that happens out here, they just don't affect you like they used to. Yeah, we may take a glance at a few things and, you know, we realize or may experience a sting of something, but we don't let that stop us. We live out of our spirits and we just keep moving. Amen. We just keep moving. Amen. The very one, I told you this, the very one who strive to walk with man for 4,000 years from Genesis to the book of Matthew, He changed positions from living on the outside of man to living on the inside of man. The Father now lives in you. You are wall to wall Holy Ghost. I know I'm keeping saying the same things over and over again. I'm not senile. Amen. Revelation is coming to you today. Amen. So, the very one then who knows the past, who knows the present, the very one who knows the future, He will guide us every day and in every way if we'll learn to yield to Him. Don't you think that each of us, that we could stand to yield to the Holy Spirit a little bit greater? Don't you think there are some areas in your life where you could learn how to submit yourself, your will to His will, and learn to be led by Him in a greater way? Raise your hand if you think that. It should be everybody in here. That should be the cry and the hunger of each and every heart. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So then the Father has now, because we're saved, because we're born again, He's put us in a position where being led by the Holy Ghost, it ought to be the easiest thing in the world for us. It's not hard to be led by the Spirit. We know what it means to be led by our flesh. We know what that feels like, and we even know the results that it produces. Amen. All we have to do is do that in reverse. Amen. Learn to follow Him. Praise God. You know, Jesus, we called His name Emmanuel, right? Which means God with us. And He is with us. I don't make light of that. But now He's not just with us. He's even beyond that. He's in us. Amen. Praise God. Amen. When we yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, as sons and daughters should, He will make sure that you are always in the right place at the right time. Amen. And I add this onto it, getting the right results. Because when you are led by His Spirit, And when he does position you and put you in the place of being in the right place at the right time, then you will get God's results. Right results. Hallelujah. So then, to skillfully walk in the Spirit, we're going to have to train ourselves to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. We must learn how to know His voice, to know and recognize all of the voices that we hear on a daily basis. And you do hear voices every day. And you're not crazy. Amen. But we need to learn how to train ourselves and begin to distinguish then the difference between the voice of our flesh, the voice of our feelings, you know, the emotional side of you, the voice of the devil, and even the voice of our own spirit, as well as the voice of the Holy Spirit. There are differences there. Now, let's look over at Proverbs chapter 20, and then we'll begin to take off right here. Just had to give you a little bit of a review. It's so good, even then in the review, isn't it? Okay, Proverbs chapter 20. And in verse 27, it says, "The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive." And that's fine, that's wonderful, that's great, that's grand, and I agree with this wholeheartedly. But if you look down, if you've got this in the study Bible, a more accurate or another way that we could read this to help us understand it, it says, "The human spirit is the Lord's light." Remember, we talked about that. Amen. Is the Lord's light. The Lord's light. Your spirit is the light of the Lord, because He is in your spirit, that becomes a light. Now, we live in a dark world. And a lot of times, remember we talked about this, we want to know what's at the end of the football field, and it's just a dark football field. We can't see hardly one step in front of us. And that's okay, because that light on the inside of you, it will light that step. And as we begin to take that step into that light that He leads us into, the moment that we do that, the light moves. Right? The light moves. And as we step into that and the light moves, then the next step becomes evident and clear. And we couldn't see that until we took that first step. Many of us, we are afraid to take the first step. Because we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. What am I going to do about this? Well, what was the first thing the Lord told you to do? Maybe it was shut up. He's leading you. Okay, shut up. Watch your mouth. Watch your words. So He's leading you. Now you shut up and you get quiet and you take that step. Now I want you to be at peace. I want you to cast this care over on me. So then you do that. Then when you begin to do that, He brings light and He says, okay, I want you to take this step and I want you to begin to step out there on my word and I want you to speak this. So then you begin to speak something. He begins to give you a scripture. He gives you something to declare. Then as you begin to declare that, then you begin to step up into more light. And pretty soon you will find yourself at the end of the football field, which was not lit. And you wonder and you look around, how did I get here? And He led you every step of the way. Amen. So the spirit of man, your spirit, it is God's light. And He will light your path. Amen. It's not the kind of light that's going to light up the whole stadium for you. Because then there wouldn't be any faith involved. Amen. He will light the steps that you need to take. Each step. It's kind of like stepping on a stepping stone. And the moment you step on that stone, the next light comes on. Then you step on that stone, the next light comes on. Amen. In His light, we see more light. Praise God. We're growing in that. You're growing in that. Amen. And so then we remove all limitations from our lives when we develop. And we train our spirits to hear from God. A successful Christian walk is not about learning good Bible messages, and thank God for good Bible messages. It's about developing or training the inward man, amen, training and developing the human spirit, the real man there on the inside of you. And if we can get that done, then everything else in our spiritual walk will become easier and easier. Spiritual training, godliness, it's profitable. Amen? Amen? So how do we train our human spirits? Well, we train our human spirits three ways, three different ways that we can do this, and you can write these down. The first way is this. It's very simple. Number one, we feed on the Word. We feed on the Word. Notice I didn't say read. I said feed. We feed on the Word. Secondly, we pray in other tongues. This is how we train our spirits. This is how we, our spiritual training. We pray in other tongues. Thirdly, we meditate on God's Word. We meditate on God's Word. So let's talk about this first one. Let's talk a bit about feeding on God's Word. Feeding on the Word is something completely different from reading and knowing what the Word says. Reading and knowing the Word, this happens primarily in the mind. And it's important that we renew our minds. So there's nothing wrong with reading, because you're going to have to read. Don't misunderstand me. You can't pick your Bible up and physically eat it and get it in you. Right? Amen? So then reading and knowing the Word, this happens primarily in your mind, but you feed on the Word with your spirit. Your spirit feeds on that Word. Feeding on the Word, that happens on the inside of you, in your spirit man, that real part of you. Amen? And if you know the Word and you're not living by that Word, then that's because you're not feeding on the Word that you know. There's a lot of people that know the Word that aren't feeding on the Word. I know steak. Last night I fed on some steak. Amen. We can get a picture of a big juicy steak. You know, we can, you know, our mouth is watering, but it's not going to do you any good just knowing or reading about it. And you go and you read it, read the menu, like, wow, this someone sounds like a good. You got to actually eat it and feed on it. Amen. And so Jesus, he taught us that just as bread is food for our physical bodies, the Word of God is food for our spirits. Oh, this is so simple. But it is so life-transforming if we will grasp this. Many of us, oh my gosh, you know, we've heard messages like this 20, 30 years ago, but we're not walking in the light of it. Are you here? Yes. Amen. Amen? And so then, just as bread is food for our physical bodies, the Word of God is food for our spirits. So one way that we train our spirits is to consistently feed on God's Word. Jesus himself taught us this in Matthew chapter 4. So let's turn and look at this. Matthew chapter 4. And in verse 4, we'll just pull this out. It says, but Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen? A proper diet. Can you say proper diet? It's okay to have bacon every once in a while. And it's okay to have a little ice cream and cake every once in a while. It's good. But you can't live on that. Amen? A proper diet of the Word of God will do for your spirits what good nutrition does for our bodies. Whenever you open your Bible and you begin to read, and then you begin to meditate on what you read, you are feeding your spirit man then a good meal. Well, I read my verse for the day. I read my chapter for the day. Amen. Remember, I talked to you about this before, and I do it. Sometimes I get behind on it, then I have to catch up. Is, you know, you go through the Bible reading plans in a year and all of that. And that's wonderful and that's great. But it's different in reading, you know, three or four different things a day or four chapters or whatever it is and four different books and versus actually taking a couple of verses of Scripture. It's not very long and actually feeding on that. There's a difference, isn't there? Amen. So your spirit man must be fed continually in order to be trained and developed. Your spirit man. Just as you train and you feed your physical body. How many of you plan on skipping any meals today? How many of you plan, oh, Ira, you're not going to skip any. Your mama will get you some food. How many of you plan on skipping a meal tomorrow? Unless you're fasting. I mean, anybody plan on skipping tomorrow? What about on Tuesday or Wednesday? What if we went a whole week and we just skipped? You'd get pretty weak, wouldn't you? Huh? Why is it then? Because Jesus gave us the analogy here. Why is it that we do that spiritually? Because spiritual food is more nourishment than even natural food. Why do we, oh, I'm going to eat today. And you eat your steak, you eat your hamburger, your ham sandwich, whatever it is. And I got to get my food. You eat your rice, whatever, praise God. But we don't take the time to put Jesus first. Well, I prayed. Well, I'm praise God that you prayed, but you still need to feed your spirit. Amen? Because that's where the inward compass is at. Praise God, so we got to develop that. You know, the Bible is no ordinary book when you begin to think about it. It's alive, isn't it? Amen? It's powerful. And it gives us strength. The Word of God is spiritual food. It feeds our spirits. Amen. The Word of God will feed your spirit. Cause you to grow. And cause you to develop. And if you aren't feeding the Word, then you aren't growing. You aren't developing. You're just existing. From service to service, from Sunday to Sunday. Praise God, you know, we can come down here and we can have a great corporate meal together and thank God for that. I like our corporate family meal times. What about you? It's good to have family meals. But we ain't having a family meal tomorrow. The next family meal is not scheduled till Wednesday night. But you're going to have to eat tomorrow. And you're probably, you know, you're not just going to eat breakfast. I mean, you're probably even going to need to eat something tonight. When you get up in the morning, amen. Afternoon maybe, evening, need to eat again. Amen. If a person doesn't eat the right foods, it will show up in their level of strength. It'll show up in their physical health. If all you eat is bacon, we're going to be having open heart surgery with you. And we can pray for healing all day long, but the Lord gives you a brain. Amen. Didn't get too much response on that one. A lack of proper nutrition will even show up in our thinking process. If you don't eat the right foods, your thinking's going to be cloudy. You're just not going to be as sharp as you should be. Just be kind of fuzzy. Amen. And over time, if a person doesn't feed his or her body, you'll end up starving the life right out of it. If you quit feeding it, it'll die. That's just kind of the way that it is. Amen. And the same thing is true concerning our spirits. Our spirits have to be fed daily. Daily. Amen. It's how our spirits become strong and healthy. You know, if we could separate, think about this. If we could stand up here, Marlon. Marlon be a good example here. If we could look at Marlon here, and if we could separate the real Marlon that's here on the inside, if we could take his spirit, pull it out, stand it over here, what would it look like? Would it look as healthy as he looks here on the outside? Or would it be this old skin and bone, skinny-looking little thing that doesn't have any muscle, that is so weak and couldn't lift his finger barely, and so weak, not have even had a drink and so on, can't even barely speak, so parched. Thank you. What would our spirits look like? What would your spirit look like, more personally? What does my spirit look like if I could take my spirit out and I could stand it right here beside me? What's it going to look like? Amen. Oh, this is good preaching. Amen. It's how we become strong and healthy. Everything in the Bible is good for our growth and training, particularly the New Testament. Feed on it. Feed on it. Amen. Besides needing a balanced diet of God's word, we also need a regular diet of God's word, continually eating the word of God. Amen. God showed us a picture of this when Israel was in the wilderness after coming out of Egypt. And we can turn and look at this in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And we all know the story, but you know, it's good to look at it and read it here. God rained down manna for them on a daily basis, didn't he? Let's look at God's instructions here to Israel about their daily quota of manna. Look at verse 4, Exodus 16, verse 4. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day, the people can go out and pick up as much as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual.'" So, in other words, on Friday, they could collect enough manna for both Friday and Saturday. Then on Sunday, they could get more. The rest of the time, God told them not to store the manna. Don't try to store it. God was making the point that he didn't want Israel to store up spiritual food and then try to live off of it for weeks and weeks and months. He wanted them and us eating a fresh meal of God's word daily. That's what he wants for you and I. Amen. Matter of fact, look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. You can write it down if you don't want to turn there. But it says this, Matthew 6 and verse 11, New King James, this was a prayer. He said this, "Give us this day our..." Once a week? Once a month? "Lord, just give us food once a month and we'll be all right." No, he prayed, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." You need daily bread. Your physical body needs daily bread and your spirit needs daily bread. Can you say that with me? I need daily bread. My spirit needs daily bread. Amen. To be fed well and to grow spiritually, we're going to have to eat daily. Amen. We must feed on the word every day. And the more that we feed on the word, there's no danger of you becoming so spiritually flabby and fat because you eat so much. Amen. Because if you're truly feeding on the word, then you're going to want to exercise. It's going to give you spiritual energy. You're going to want to do something. The reason why we have trouble a lot of times trying to get people involved in different aspects of the church or the ministry, we'd like for you to do this, we'd like for you to do that, it's because they're not feeding on the word. If they were feeding the word, they would be like bouncing off the walls. I got to have something to do. Give me something to do. I want to help with this. I don't care if it's cleaning the toilet. I'll do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because you're feeding the word. And the reason why we just sit around and hear the word and hear the word and hear the word and we're hearing it, they're just becoming good messages. They're not becoming really truly life to us because we're not feeding on them. The Lord wants you to feed. Amen. Oh, it's good preaching, Pastor Wayne. I'm going to download this message myself. Praise God. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. You know, you can't live today on revelation you received yesterday. Oh, you know, the Lord gave me this revelation, and it was 20 years ago, and thank God for that. But it has to be just as much of a revelation today as it was 20 years ago. The trouble is, we get revelations and we let them slip. And they just become something good that the Lord told us. You see, when it's revelation, you live by it. You don't lose sight of it. Psalm 68, verse 19, it says this in the New King James. It says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily," can you say daily?
Daily.
"He daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." Amen. Amen. There's daily benefits. Following your inward compass, being led by the Holy Spirit, it comes easy for the one who feeds their spirits daily. If you want to follow the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to feed your spirit daily. Otherwise, your thinking, your perception, you're not going to be in tune. You're going to be out of tune. Amen. You know, in the old days, they used to have those radios. I had these. We don't have them anymore. Now everything's push button. But they had these old radios where you had to turn the knob and you had to tune into the station. There was nothing digital. It was just the numbers. They wrote them there on that little screen thing, and you had to get close to the number and you turned it in. And you had to tweak it every once in a while if it got off, right? Get all staticky. Well, that's the way that we are spiritually. Amen. So many of us as Christians, we think we're being led by the Holy Spirit when all we're hearing is a bunch of static. And maybe you're picking up another station bleed over that's not a good station. That's a wrong voice. And you're picking something up and you're thinking it's the Lord when it's not the Lord. Amen. No, this is good. If you don't feed your spirits, and you need to write this down and don't ever forget it. Giving you something here. You will be tested on this. Not by me, but in life. If you don't feed your spirits the proper nutrition and on a consistent basis, you run the risk of misinterpreting the leading of the Holy Spirit because you're spiritually weak. I'll say it again. If you don't feed your spirits the proper nutrition and on a consistent basis, you run the risk of misinterpreting. See, you're a Christian now. Of misinterpreting the leading of the Holy Spirit because you're spiritually weak. We misinterpret the Holy Ghost when we're weak. Jesus doesn't want a weak church. Amen. He wants a strong church. He does not want you weak. He wants you strong. Because when you're strong, he can lead you. He can speak to you. And he can tell you things. And it will be crystal clear. It won't be misinterpreted. Amen. And this is where so many Christians are at these days. Misinterpret the leading of the Holy Spirit. I've seen so many people do this. Many of the things that they think Can you say think?
Think.
They think are God and the leading of God, but they're actually quite the contrary. Because they're filtered through hurts. They're filtered through offense. They're filtered through emotions. They're filtered through our personal likes and dislikes. They filtered through things. Well, they're filtered through you. Amen. You see, He is the Holy Spirit. But He lives in you, and you're still growing. And you're not, yes, we're holy by faith, and we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but you live in an unholy world, and face it, every once in a while, you have some unholy thoughts.
Amen.
Have you ever had an unholy thought? And raise your hand if you had one this week. There's no shame in that. Amen. But the Holy Spirit, He works through imperfect vessels.
Amen.
Now think about this, especially when it comes to leadership in the church. It is easy. Oh, it's so easy to submit and to yield to a leader. Amen. When you think everything is perfect, but you find something out that you know is not perfect, and you're going to have a very hard time submitting. True submission. Now listen to me. True submission to the will of God. True submission to the plan of God. We find out true submission when you can submit to the leading of God through an imperfect vessel. What? Oh, yeah. Because you got to take into account personalities. You got to take into account, well, I don't like his glasses. You got to take his voice, just annoys me.
Amen.
Are you here?
Yes.
Sometimes the Lord gives us things that we don't really want, but we really need.
Yes.
How many of you know people? And you know they're blessing from the Lord, and you know you love them and all of that, but you know people that you just kind of look at them from time to time. They are a thorn in my flesh. They get under my skin. They annoy me. You love them. Is it Jerry? Jaime's pointing to Jerry. But what do? We don't yield to that. You know, each of us are created differently. Amen? The Holy Spirit will always lead you in line with the Word of God, and He will always lead you in line, Greg, with the character of God. Godly character. Amen? And you won't misinterpret. I've seen people do this in church. I've seen people do this in this church. They'll hear something. They'll get offended at something or see something that they don't like. Then all of a sudden, the Lord told me to leave. Oh, really? Oh, you couldn't even count how many people. Sometimes, you know, we'll run into different people, and I guess they get over the fence, and we'll run into different people, and they'll say, hi, Pastor Wayne, or they'll say, hi, Pastor Robin, and you know, I'm smiling and being nice, but then I walk away, and I ask her, I say, who is that? Oh, they used to come to church. Oh, okay. Out of sight, out of mind. Hello? Maybe it's just a guy thing, I don't know. And you try to act all cool, like, yeah. How you been?
No.
Hadn't seen you in a long time, and you don't even remember the first time you saw him. Sorry. Amen. Oh, this is good. This is good. This is good. Don't misinterpret the will of God. Because sometimes the Lord will give you things that you need that you don't think that you need. Then you find out later, it was everything that you needed. Because it was working on something in you, in your flesh, in your character, in you that just wasn't quite right. And the Lord wanted to tweak that and work on that. And then he found an imperfect vessel that he put you with, that you called Satan. That's a devil. They just act like they're full of the devil. No, that's just their flesh. And sometimes we clash with people. I don't know about you, but I clash with people sometimes. She really didn't mean to say that. Oh, she really did. Yeah. I would be lying to you if I told you I never clash with my mother-in-law. Oh, we clash. She needs me. But I need her. I remember one time she got on my nerves so bad, I forget what it was. She probably doesn't even remember. She probably doesn't even remember using this phrase. I don't know. But she kept telling me something, and I didn't want to do it, or I didn't want to change. I didn't want to do something. And she kept saying this. She kept saying, just bend a little bit, Wayne. Just bend. It's like, stop saying bend. I'm not going to bend. Just be flexible. Just bend a little bit. I'm not bending. But I find out, you know, I'm 46 now. I find out that the older I've got, that branch that was so hard, it's getting easier to bend. I'm getting wise. She loves me better today than she did yesterday. No, it really doesn't have anything to do with that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is how we grow. When we get over on the other side, can you imagine sitting down by the crystal sea under this beautiful tree surrounded by flowers, sitting by the very one who got on your nerves, and you're sitting there, you're just laughing, if you could, you're just laughing your heads off, talking about, you remember this time and you remember that time, and you remember when you said that, I was so angry at you. Oh, yeah, could be the little guy at the coffee store, she says. Yeah, every once in a while, maybe it's just my personality. Every once in a while, I'll run into people. They don't even have to hardly open up their mouth, and I'm like, I don't like you. Just the way that you look. I don't like you. But then there are other people, I just like them automatically. Am I the only one that feels that way? You ever met somebody for the first time, and then you automatically, you're like, I don't like you. Everybody has done that, if you're honest. We have honest pastors and honest sheep. Amen. But a lot of times we can take those things that are in us, our personalities, our feelings, our emotions, and then we can misinterpret the leading of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever misinterpreted something and then gone back and you got a little bit down the road and you realize, oh, I guess I missed it. I mean, I thought it was the Lord, but the Lord's telling me this, and when it really wasn't the Lord. Am I the only one that's ever? Raise your hand if that's ever happened. I mean, has that ever happened to you? Sometimes I feel like I'm the only person that's ever happened. I'm just messing with you. I know what's happened to you. Happens to everybody. Amen. We're all in this life together. But the scripture tells us, you should turn there and look at this sometime, what a concept there is, love. It says, love never fails. We screw it up, but love never fails. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God. So let's train and let's develop ourselves spiritually so that this doesn't have to be said of us where we aren't misinterpreting things. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. That sounds kind of weak. If you're weak spiritually, you're going to follow your emotions. And to try to appear spiritual to everybody else because you've been saved for 1,500 years, you'll say, the Lord said, when he didn't. You're hearing a voice that you think is the Lord. And you're trying to put a thus saith the Lord on it. When it's either a thus saith Satan, or it's a thus saith your flesh, or it's a thus saith your own spirit. Sometimes your own spirit can misinterpret and be wrong. Hello? The devil is the one who will work on your flesh. He'll work on your feelings. He'll work on your emotions. Why? To pull you away from following the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
So we've got to be more alert and more sensitive to this than ever before, especially in these last days.
Yes.
Amen. The second thing was this. Praying in other tongues. We don't have time to talk about that right now because I took too much time talking about the other stuff. But praying in other tongues, this is how we develop our spirit. This is how we grow. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll pick that up next week.
Amen.
Father, I trust you with this word today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For transforming us. For allowing us grace to grow when we've missed it. For granting us, Lord, repentance is a gift. Thank you for the gift of repentance. Of when we have missed it. And when we have misinterpreted your leading. Forgive us, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, that you have already provided a means by which we can get back on track through repentance. Praise you, Father. Lord, I pray for our church family. Everybody, all of our faith family, Maui, and all of those that are associated and connected with us in the South Pacific, and those that are listening to this message today and even in the future. Lord, I pray for them. Lord, I thank you for your hand, for your light, for your liberty, for your freedom, for helping to train and helping to develop us to be this mighty spiritual army that you've called us to be. Lord, following the Holy Spirit, I know this and realize this, it's not for sissies. Lord, it's not for the weak. It's not for the faint of heart. Lord, it's for the strong. Lord, I thank you for strength.
Yes.
Faith Family Maui.
Thank you,
I thank you for strength.
Yes.
And I decree and declare as the pastor, Lord, this is a strong church.
Yes.
We have strong people.
Yes.
That know your voice. No,
yes.
They won't bow down, be anybody's doormat, especially the devil's. But they're strong. They're strong. They're strong. Hallelujah. 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 If you need healing in your body, very, very quickly, stand up. The healing power of God is here. Stand up. Anybody.